So far, the government has announced $50 million in funding to support the media industry as it deals with the financial hit from the COVID-19 crisis. And there have also been calls for the government to make digital platforms like Google and Facebook share revenue from journalism. Today I'm speaking with Eric Crampton. He is the chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative, and he's been thinking about how to fix this media problem we have, and he's got a pretty big idea. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon.
Get us up to speed. What's going wrong for the media industry at the moment?
Well, the model that worked for at least half a century through the 20th century doesn't work anymore. We used to get very good journalism that was largely funded by classified ads and advertising more generally, where newspapers were the most effective way of delivering a lot of eyeballs to advertisers. That's not the case anymore. Trade Me here and in the States, Craigslist and eBay took away the classified ads. Google and Facebook are much better platforms for other kinds of online advertising. And so far, everybody's been trying to cobble together the model that had worked for a long time and no longer works through regulatory measures. So trying to force Google and Facebook and the other big tech players to fund media and journalism more directly. Now, quite how they want to make that work, it's tough. If you look at Spain, when they started putting licensing fees on Google News for putting little tiny snippets of news that they'll have on the Google search, Google just withdrew from that market. So it doesn't really work, and it doesn't really make sense either. It worked through the 20th century because it made sense. The economics of the whole deal meant that you could have this nice partnership between the various kinds of advertising and news media. That doesn't work anymore. And that all kinds of sectors hit tech change, and business models always have to change. It could be that the optimal amount of media would be declining in response to this, but we've got a problem with that, where a well-resourced investigative journalism function is important for a well-functioning democracy. We need to have people checking that, like, local councils aren't corrupt or just weird things happening that people need to be abreast of. That has to get funded somehow. So New Zealand isn't the only place facing this problem. There have been lots of inquiries into it abroad. There was a nice report that had come out last year at the University of Chicago looking at different ways of funding media. They'd come up with a voucher system model. I can go through that in a minute. But the slightly different take on it that I'd had was to try and increase demand for media and for news, really, that the underlying problem is that not that advertising doesn't work anymore. The underlying problem is that people have very little incentive to actually become well-informed on current affairs. If you don't really know what's going on, maybe you get a bit less kudos at the water cooler once we're allowed to be back at the water cooler. But otherwise, your life can really go on as normal without knowing very much at all about what's going on in politics or in current affairs. So coming up with ways of encouraging people to pick up that information is sort of the first order problem. And if you can't solve that, then you can look at other ways of trying to fund journalism.
So you're trying to do something about the declining audience, the declining audience, because the declining audience also has an impact on revenue via advertising and circulation fees.
Exactly. So subscribers
you're trying to boost demand.
Yeah, they were very heavily subsidized by people buying classified ads and people buying other forms of advertising. That's gone away, and demand for news on its own isn't really enough to generate the amount of journalism that we really need, especially in the small market. So how do we start addressing that? In my academic life, back when I was an economist at Canterbury University, I was looking at a fairly similar problem around voter knowledge and how little voters really know about the issues going into elections. You'd have things like during the MMP referendum, people saying that they supported first past the post, but they like to have multi-party government, or that they like single-party government, but they were going to vote to maintain MMP. They just didn't understand how the system works. So we have that same kind of problem, that there just isn't the reward to getting the information. So I was suggesting in a piece in Newsroom last week, if we're looking in at tens of millions of dollars for media bailouts anyways, just as part of the COVID problem, and then potentially more government funding of media more broadly, maybe we could take a slightly different approach to it. So when I was a kid in Canada, and I'm sure that we had similar things here, radio stations would try and encourage people to listen by doing random phone calls, right? You could get a call, and if you answered saying what the song was that the station had just played,
yeah,
you win a prize. So, yeah, that's happened here too, right?
I used to host that competition back in commercial radio in Wellington. What was it?
Yeah, exactly.
We had the phrase that pays, actually, where you call someone up and you ask them what the phrase that pays was. Yeah.
On the Simpsons, that's how Bart Simpson won an elephant, if you don't remember that. But what I was suggesting was every day you could have the editors of the main media outlets, basically anybody who is regulated by the Media Council, submit some skill testing questions in. So whatever the main stories are that they've been following and that they think are important, you put questions about those into the pool, phone up people over the course of the day. Eventually somebody gets the answer right. Maybe give them a chance to pick one of three questions. So the story of the day out of here's the three outlets. Maybe you're reading one of them. Which outlet's question do you want to answer? If you successfully answer the question, you get $100,000. If you did that every day, it'd be $36.5 million, which is less than they're talking about for the current COVID bailout of media. And it would build demand for actually paying attention to the news and for subscribing to your local newspaper and maybe one of the other ones. So I think that would work a little bit better than sort of top-down bailouts. You're instead encouraging people to really want to be informed, because just imagine how terrible it would be to get the phone call with $100,000 on the line, and if you just read that morning's paper, you would have been able to answer the question really easily, but you didn't, so you miss out. Of course people are going to start reading the paper when you're in that kind of a framework, right?
So much more positive than Lotto.
It's a lot
problems.
Better.
Yeah. Number one is this, I mean, would it be true to say that people are fairly well off anyway, are likely to have the time and inclination to follow the news, so you might just be, you know, perpetuating existing inequalities?
Well, the point would be to encourage more people to become better informed.
Yeah.
Right? You wouldn't want to set the questions that they're really obscure. You wouldn't want to set them for something that's in a really dense business story that very few people would have been paying attention to. The editors would want to be picking questions from the big stories that they've been following, that they'd be really hoping that their subscribers are paying attention to, right?
Yeah.
So you run it that way. Now, the other model that the Chicago Booth panel had come up with was a voucher system. So there they were suggesting that when people, this is an American one, so there, everybody has to file their taxes every year rather than it being automatic for a lot of wage and salary earners here. There they were suggesting a $50 media checkoff where you would have to designate a media outlet as being the recipient of your $50 voucher, or you could divide it up among some of your favorites at tax time. And if you chose not to allocate your voucher, then the money that you didn't allocate would just be divvied up across all of the outlets proportionate to their support and everybody else's 1040s. I don't like that option quite as much. It doesn't do the same thing in building demand for really understanding what's going on and paying attention to current affairs. It's still better than having some expert panel trying to decide this. Because you can imagine the nightmares you get into if...
Well, people might just chip their money in for the page three girl, you know what I mean?
Say again?
They might just chip their money in for the newspaper with the page three girl. That's not necessarily going to help investigative journalism or anything, yeah.
Well, I'm worried a little bit less on that side and a little bit more about if the government is appointing the panel that decides which are the worthy news outlets this year will be awarded funding through some expanded New Zealand On Air, then you start getting stronger incentives to hew to a party line, and journalists are worried about that, and rightly so.
I was talking about the voucher one. They've all got flaws, but I actually really like your idea, Eric. As I said earlier, I'm sure there'll be people listening who can poke holes in it, but in the meantime, shall you and me try and get organised for $10,000 to give away each afternoon on my radio show, and we'll start making some calls?
Excellent. Yeah. No, I do like that model a lot better. In the grand scheme of things, it's cheap. And while there are obvious objections people can come to, there are ways of working around these. So instead of taking these as, oh, we should, reasons not to do it, there are reasons to figure out better ways of designing the things that can work.
Great. Hey, thanks for your ideas.
No problem at all. Thank you.